Hi, welcome to the new edition of Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan, bringing you exclusive interviews from behind the scenes at the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and this week we'll look back at the weekend that saw Belfast Giants come to Glasgow for a doubleheader, looking for their first away win of the season, but saw Clan equal a club record 8 straight wins. Craig Moore talks to us at length about his life and career in ice hockey and tells us how a boy from Glenrothes ended up at Glasgow via Ontario, Utah and Cardiff. And I'm delighted to bring you my exclusive interview with former favourite and Wall of Famer Drew Miller, who was only here for 3 months in 2012 but made quite the impression as the only active NHL player at that time to play for the club. He tells us what life was like with the lockout hanging over him and his fellow players and what he thought of his time in Scotland. Oh yeah, there's a Clan conundrum coming too. This is Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Before we get started, we want to send our best wishes to game night announcer Kevin McCoskrie, who suffered a heart attack at Saturday's game against the Belfast Giants. We're glad to say, after a stay at the Jubilee and Ayr hospitals, he's back home and on the road to recovery, so we can't wait to see him again soon. Take care, Kevin. Clan conundrum to come, but first, ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the national anthem.
Out of Scotland, when will we see a like again that fought and died for your wee bit hill and glen and stood against him? Proud Edward's army and sent him home to think again.
Thank you, Jerry. Brought a tear to a glass eye. Time for the Clan conundrum now, and the visit of Coventry Blaze for the first time this season is coming up on Sunday, so we decided to base this week's question on previous meetings with them. Last season, Matt Becker scored the most points in the 6 meetings with Coventry, picking up 3 goals and 8 assists for 11 points, but which 2 players scored more goals? Answer to come at the end of the podcast.
It's Matt Sanish, you're listening to Clan Chat.
There's nothing better than the feeling of another 4-point weekend, and Clan made it 4 of those in a row with a Challenge Cup Shots win, then a league win over Belfast Giants to equal a club record 8 consecutive victories. They've achieved this twice before, in season 11-12 winning 3 at home and 5 away under Drew Bannister, before repeating it in season 14-15 with 4 home and 4 away wins during Ryan Finnerty's second season in charge. With thanks to Jim Lydon for that nugget of information. On Saturday, Giants managed to squeeze themselves into the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup, managing to avoid defeat in regulation time that would have ended their cup defence prematurely, as Clan needed penalty shots to take the victory. Chad Rowe put the Clan ahead twice as all the goals came in the third period, but Giants kept clawing their way back as Keenan Long then Liam Reddicks both equalised, with the latter striking 17 seconds from the end to keep them in the competition. The game went all the way to penalty shots, and with Rasmus Bjerrum and Rowe on target, Clan were able to end the Challenge Cup group stage on a high. It was back for more of the same on Sunday, as league points were up for grabs and another keenly fought contest was played out. Bobby Farnham put the Giants ahead in the second period, but Clan hit back through Nolan Laporte early in the third to turn the tide of the game, with Matt Haywood, then Scott Tansky, adding further markers to make it 8 in a row and complete a successful weekend, as Glasgow made it 5 in a row at home over the Giants. Post-game, Jerry McLaughlin had a word with all 3 scorers as they stepped off the ice on Sunday.
Boys, another fantastic performance. At times it felt a little bit like deja vu tonight, felt a little bit similar to last night the way it was, but that to go that little bit further must feel great.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, coming out here in front of our home crowd after a tough battle and to be able to get 3 big third period goals, and you know, especially Woody getting on the board in our line has been a little bit snake bitten. We've been working hard, but for him to contribute and us to get that big win is... Well, they say 8 in a row. Hey, let's do 9 next week.
Wow, 8 in a row. Well, we'll come back to that in a wee second. But Nolan, first, you know, Ski mentioned there about the battling performance there tonight. It got really chippy out there tonight at places. What's it like to play in a curtain like that when you play back-to-back against these teams? Does that make a difference?
Definitely. The Sunday games are tough, no matter, you know, how physical they are. But a team like this, they're big. They play hard. And, you know, we did well to weather the storm and come back in the third and, you know, make a run for it.
What was your goal? Was that comeback goal? Can you take us through what was going through your mind there? The crowd absolutely erupted for that one.
Honestly, I don't know. The puck just... Rouse made a great play, got out to the slot, and Wasn't the greatest shot, but it counted, you know. So
if they go in, they're great shots, I think. And Rudy, yourself there, when that goal went in, you must have felt the relief in the crowd there. It felt like the tide was starting to turn.
Yeah, obviously we battled hard for 50 minutes there. No one got us back in the game, and I think it was a big goal, a really bit of relief around everyone, especially our line. I know we've been working hard and not getting a lot of rewards, so it was nice to Ski didn't get a point on it, by the way.
Well, it's worth mentioning there, last night you were denied that goal. It must have felt like a little bit of retribution tonight.
Yeah, it's just honestly, it's all about getting the wins. When we're winning, we're having so much fun, and it's great chemistry, and it's just great attitude in the room right now, and it's been unbelievable over this last month.
Well, Woody, Scott mentioned a little bit earlier there in the chat, it is 8 wins on the bounce. That's actually a record equaling number of games for the Clan. That puts a little bit of an interesting slant on the next game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I remember the last one, and we went on an 8-game losing streak after that, so hopefully we can get 9 in a row and keep it going. Like Scott said, it's all a process, and we're not the finished article yet, so we're just building and building and building to get better and better.
Well, bright performance tonight. Thanks very much, guys.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
Nolan Laporte, Matt Haywood and Scott Tansky talking to Jenny McLaughlin after the game on Sunday. Now to the task at hand, and we catch up with one of the members of the team to hear about their life and times in ice hockey and the path they've taken that's led them to here. We've heard from the likes of Mathieu Roy and Scott Tansky, so this week we've gone from someone a bit closer to home, but their journey to Glasgow started in Glenrothes and took him to Ontario, Utah, Dundee, Cardiff and back to Fife. I'm talking about Craig Moore, and he started by telling us about how he discovered ice hockey and what made him want to play.
So I was about 4 or 5 years old, and we were about to go on holiday actually to Florida to see some family, and by chance we just went down to the Fife Ice Arena, and we were getting tickets for the Flyers game for when we came home, and just when I was at the rink, I just kind of went in, and there was some cross ice hockey going on, and just pretty much picked it up from there. When we were in Florida, I went to the store, I got my first helmet, gloves, stick, skates, came back, and yeah, the rest is history, really.
Now, you were just telling me that you grew up in Glenrothes, so who were the guys that you skated with and played with as you looked to find a way into the sport?
I think that's tough. When I was that young, kind of a lot of my buddies, obviously, not many still play. I'm the only one that kind of seemed to keep going and going and going, but when I was younger, kind of just everyone, all my buddies played, and it was the place to be at that point. And kind of as I grew up more and more throughout Fife, obviously played up levels, and you start to play with better and better players and guys who have played in this league previous, and just one for their, like Wando was actually was my coach at one point when I was, if you want to call it squirts or whatever, learned to play.
Chris Wands.
So yeah, it's a lot of guys that I've ended up coming up against, you know, as I got older, were definitely role models in that sense when I was younger.
Good. Now, was ice hockey something you always wanted to do, or was there another career you maybe fancied doing when you were a kid, but ice hockey was a kind of sideline for you at that point?
To be honest, as every kid, most of the time, I played a bunch of sports, right? I played football, rugby, roller hockey, ice hockey, but ice hockey was kind of always my number one, and besides the old wanted to be an astronaut and all this stuff, you know, obviously everyone dreams of being a hockey player. So, honestly, I couldn't tell you, like, when I last had an envision or a dream of not being a hockey player. I honestly, from when I remember, that's all I've wanted to do.
And, of course, it was ideal. You know, you talked about Fife Ice Arena and the junior system they have there, and it's still very much on the go today as well. You must be proud being a product of that system.
Yeah, I think for years and years and years, Fife has always been a really successful junior organisation. I think they have a lot of kids come through the system that seem to go on and do make it in, you know, different levels around the UK. But yeah, I think I was pretty fortunate to have a lot of my buddies, and we're all kind of good at hockey and grow up and have a lot of success through the junior ranks.
So this is where your life takes a bit of a different turn. You moved to Ontario in 2011. How did that come about?
So as far as I can remember, playing at the conference weekend, just one of the guys from the school out there was over, and he just kind of spoke to my parents, and then, kind of things just snowballed, and eventually, you know, obviously, as soon as I heard about it, I was pretty much begging my parents to make this happen, and, you know, fortunately and thankfully, they were able to do that, and I'm, you know, so happy that they were able to do that, and thankful for that, and, yeah, like I said, it kind of just came about real quick, and it could have actually happened when I was younger. But I think, and I'm glad now again that my parents thought about school and things and knew that, you know, I always needed something to fall back on. So I stayed home, did my standard grades, and then eventually, when I was about 15, 16, if I remember correctly, I got the chance to go out to Ontario.
So what was the way of life over there compared to what you were used to? It would have been a complete culture change for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, very, very different, but it was honestly unbelievable. I wouldn't change a second of it. It was great. 2 years I got to spend there. You're living with pretty much hundreds of kids, it feels like, but you're about four girls teams, four guys teams when I was there, varying age, obviously. But yeah, you're around your buddies. You roommate with three of your best buddies. As you can imagine, you have a lot of fun. Like, every day there's always something to do, and yeah, just hang out with your buddies, and at the same time you get to go to school and play hockey every day. It's pretty awesome.
How hard did you find it? I assume you were away from your parents, of course. How hard did you find it at times?
Do you know what? I think I'm kind of different. I'd say that my sister's very likes to be around home and things, whereas I think I was kind of the opposite. I really enjoyed it, and like I said, you're around so many other people. There's always something to do that, you know, you don't really have a lot of time to think about missing home and things. And, you know, of course, it's really nice when, you know, I got the chance to come home and spend some time at home. But you're so busy with hockey, school, and all your buddies, you honestly kind of, or in my opinion, I really just kind of forgot about it in that sense and just really enjoyed every day.
Now, you played with the Ontario Hockey Academy. You had a year with the Maroon Mavericks and a year with the Gold Mavericks a year later. What was the difference between the two teams?
Simply put, one was the better team, if I'm completely honest. My first year I played Maroon. We weren't very successful, to say the least, but it was still a great experience, and I learned a hell of a lot. And being on the ice with, you know, kids my age who were, you know, above and beyond my ability too was huge for me. And then obviously my second year was the Gold team, which historically has been the better team at the school. Just I got that opportunity to play, and I actually then switched to being a forward on that team, and we had a lot more success. And yeah, it's kind of just, yeah, I think at first year a lot of kids seem to go on, and you kind of work your way almost up to that Gold team, and I was lucky enough to get that opportunity in my second year, and yeah, I had a lot more success with that.
Now, at the end of the second year, I would imagine you had some options to think about. Returning home might have been one of them. You did go to Ogden Mustangs, of course. But what other options did you have?
I think back. Well, when I was leaving OHA, I went to a showcase, which did great. It was called the CCM Showcase. And this is something that, you know, it doesn't really happen in the UK. You don't get that exposure. But I went. There was, I God knows how many teams, and literally the rink is just packed with scouts from a bunch of different tiers of junior out there. And I never really, really looked at my options for coming home. I kind of just had my sights set on trying to go to college. Obviously, once you're out there, kind of the dream is to be able to go and, you know, get a scholarship to college. And, you know, that never came about. But at that point, from OHA to junior, I had a bunch of options, but Ogden just really stood out at that point.
So how much of a step up was it to go from where you were in Ontario at the Hockey Academy to Ogden? What was that like?
I think it's very different. Again, I was really fortunate, and I think I have been really fortunate. I've played in some great organisations, but obviously the setup at OHA was great, but same at Ogden, I couldn't fault it. We had a great setup there, and it's obviously a big step up from AAA. So AAA was about U17s, and then juniors you're playing, it can be from pretty much 16 right through to 20, 21. So right off the bat, kids are bigger, stronger, faster. But again, that's what you need, right? You need to step into things and push yourself. And it was a really good step for me at that point.
And tell us about the other Pfeiffer that was there in your first year in Ogden.
Oh, God. Help me out here.
Neil Quinn.
Jeez, he's going to be mad at me now. do you know what? I'm actually in a group chat with him and a couple of my other buddies. And again, he actually ended up taking a completely different path after junior. He went down to Windsor, Ontario. He's still living out there, actually. He's got his school now, and I think he's going to be doing his master's. So, yeah, he's done really well for himself from there too. But it's actually funny. I have cousins who live down there and ended up playing hockey with their boyfriends and all sorts of things. So, yeah, he's having a great time out there still, I think. I think he's set out there for good now.
Yeah, I was looking at his record earlier on. I don't think he's played for a while, but, you know, as you say, he seems quite set now. But what was it like to have someone from your part of the world there to share that experience with?
It's always good. Obviously, we come home and we have our stories from there, and obviously we've got other buddies who have played elsewhere in the States, and we share our stories. But it's always nice to have someone kind of from home. And as you say, obviously, I said that before, I was really busy, but even when like his parents would come out and visit, it was still nice because, you know, they'd bring some things from home and you get to hang out with them and things and hear stories from home. So, yeah, it was real nice to have him on the team.
Now, the next year, your second year in Ogden, you were joined on the team by Liam Charnock, who's at Leeds Chiefs nowadays, David Clements and Alex Forbes, now at Coventry. Interestingly enough, they all came into Ogden. So what was it like playing with those guys? And did you feel like the experienced head compared to these new guys that had come in?
Well, I don't know about that. I think there was a lot of guys in Ogden who had been there at least a year before me. But obviously, Forbesy and Charnock, it was great to have them there. They were two guys, again, that I spent time at OHA with. I played with Charnock on the Maroon team, actually, the first year and stuff. But yeah, it's obviously great. And then Clemo, he actually helped me when it came time to coming back to the UK. He actually helped me out and had people reach out for me. So yeah, it was a really good experience playing with them. And obviously, when you have a bunch of British guys together, it's always a good laugh.
Now, we'll talk about the Coventry game coming up a little bit later, but has the chirping already started with David and Alex with you?
No, nothing yet, but I know for a start Clem will be giving me a big time. Forbes, maybe not so much, but Clem will give me it.
Of course. Now, 2015, you decided to come home and you signed for the Dundee Stars. Why was it time to come home?
Well, in all honesty, I didn't have a lot of options. I could have played my last year junior. They kind of like, at the organization anyway, a lot of kids seem to play out their junior years. And, you know, for good reasons, you know, at the end of the day, going to school can be hard. A lot of kids are older when they go to university out there. And the coach kind of just explained that, you know, you can have fun in juniors. You've got no stress, really, apart from playing hockey, which is great. And, you know, you don't always get to have that. You know, you can go to school and that can be career over. So enjoy it while you can. But I had visa issues, all that stuff. And it kind of just made me look at my options. And like I said, actually, it was Clemo helped me out. Obviously, Danny Stewart's related in that sense with him. And he reached out. And then I had a few other options. And I just decided at that point, I would spend 5 years out there if I eventually did go to school and then probably end up trying to break into the league at that point. So I thought, why not come home and give it a try at that point?
Now, you mentioned Danny Stewart. He was the assistant coach at Fife at the time. Obviously, that would have been ideal for you, given where you're from originally. And I remember interviewing you at the time, and I got the sense you were disappointed that the move to Fife never transpired. Was that the case?
Do you know what? I'd say, obviously, at the time, that was kind of, really, at one point, my only option in terms of the Elite League. Things took quite a while, and so much so it actually worked out in my favour, and I actually couldn't be more happy that I ended up in Dundee, because really I had two great years, and I think without those 2 years in Dundee and the opportunity I got in Dundee and, you know, the trust from Lefebvre, I honestly don't think I would have, you know, had the success and be where I'm at now with that. So, yeah, at first I think, you know, Fife was, things were slow and it never really happened, but I was really happy that Dundee came about, and I wouldn't change that at all.
You mentioned Mark Lefebvre, of course. I think he's very much missed it in the Elite League. But he got the Stars to that playoff weekend in 2017. You were part of that team. What was that like for you?
Oh, yeah. pretty exciting. I was a little nervous. I remember I actually told my sister's boyfriend that I told him my first shift, when I step on the ice, I'm going to make one pass and I'm going to get off the ice. And I genuinely, honestly think if you could find video of it, my first shift probably lasted about 8 seconds. I was pretty nervous, but I settled in. But it was unbelievable. That weekend is crazy. And actually to this, that's the only time I've played. Obviously I was, you know, down there, but I was injured at the point. But yeah, it's amazing. And you know, I just, for all the guys that I've never played in this league, I hope this year we get down there and have success, because it's an amazing weekend down there.
I remember that game, and I remember rightly, you held your own against Cardiff, I think, for the first two periods. You were ahead at one point in the game, and then you just seemed to fizzle out in the third period.
Yeah, I think we had a 2-1 lead, maybe.
Something like that, at one point.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it's like. Teams like Cardiff, Sheffield and things, they're four lines deep, and I think the legs just kind of caught up to us, and it was a real shame, but... Do you know what, I think we still had a great time, and even to just compete, you know, at that point was huge for us, and to even get to that weekend was huge for the organisation. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Then it was off to Cardiff the following season, and I think it's fair to say an injury-hit season. You got great experience in the Champions Hockey League to start, then the regular season started, you got hurt, and that was kind of you for the rest of the season. What happened there?
Yeah, really unfortunate. I think things started off great in Cardiff. A lot of opportunity, loving it. Again, I'd moved and I was playing up front. But, you know, another great organisation I've been fortunate to play with, and thankful that I had that opportunity. I think just getting injured, obviously it wasn't easy in Belfast. I think at first I got told about 3 weeks, got my MRI, and got told I had pretty much 6 months in surgery. So that was kind of, pretty devastating, to be honest. You know, obviously, you're new somewhere, you want to be able to prove yourself. But it was a great learning experience for me, actually. I got kind of close with the equipment guy, Deese, there. And I just wanted to be involved as much as I could. So after my surgery, I mean, I was in the rink 2 days after. Started my rehab as soon as I could. I wanted to get back as soon as I could, but realistically it was for the next season. But I ended up on road trips in the van with Deese to Cardiff, all the way back, unpacking everything. I did what I could to be a part, and I pretty much became the assistant equipment guy for the season. And yeah, you know what, at the end of the day, it's another experience I can chalk up. It was not where I'd want to be, but at the end of the day, I made what I could out of it.
What's Andrew Lord like to work with? Certainly from my experience in the media, he's never been anything other than very hospitable towards me, and he always takes the time to talk. What's he like as a coach in the room when certain things are happening and maybe things aren't going right? What's he like to work with?
Yeah, you know what, again, I think he's a great coach. I think his record shows that in this league, his success. He puts in the work, that's for sure. He's definitely at the rink more than anyone I ever know. Or have known, but he's very intense, very tactical, very systematic. I think, again, that shows in the way Cardiff play. But yeah, all around, at the end of the day, I can't fault. He took the time to work with the young guys and really put that effort into us. And again, like I said, I'm thankful for that. But yeah, overall, he's super intense, but a very good coach.
Now, that season, you were hurt that first season. Cardiff won the league and won the playoffs that year. And I remember speaking to you on the ice in Nottingham after the playoff final. And you were determined you were going to get back in this team. You were going to work hard over the summer and get yourself back in. But could you really enjoy the celebrations, given that the injury really prevented you from having any real contribution?
Do you know what? It's really hard. You know, obviously, I chalk it up. You know, at the end of the day, it's a huge experience. And, yeah, we had success. But, you know, I want to win the Elite League being a big part of it on the ice. You know, I want to win playoffs being a part of that. You know, being on the ice and being with the guys in the locker room. So, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it might say it on Elite Prospects. But I do feel like I still owe it. And I want to get that for myself and for the boys here. I think we've got a great chance of that. And I really want to do that while I was contributing on the ice.
Last December, you took the decision to leave Cardiff, and the chance for to go to Fife and play there came up again. How big a decision was that to make?
Oh, honestly, it took a long time, and it wasn't an easy one. Obviously, leaving probably one of the top organisations in league is definitely not an easy choice. I mean, things started off great. I joke about it now. I had 4 points in four games. I have to throw that in here. I thought it was my breakout season. I was point a game guy for a bit, and that slowly turned to about 25 games and 4 points. But Yeah, you know, it was a tough one. You know, things kind of just changed. You know, we brought extra guys in, and you know, it's tough as is competing for a spot. You know, on the you know the fourth line down there, and it, you know, I, at my age, I think ice time is a huge thing, and I think eventually everyone agreed with that. Obviously, it was a tough decision, and you know, I didn't want to leave it. And in one sense, it's a great organization, and you know, I wanted to be a part of the success and contribute. But again, like we just said, I wanted to contribute on the ice, and I really wasn't doing that. Great bunch of guys kind of leaving behind, but Fife was a great opportunity when I spoke with them, and it just kind of came about. And finally, once kind of injuries and things were all cleared up in Cardiff, we finally made that work, and yeah, I ended up in Fife. Obviously a big decision, but one that I think was the right decision. I mean, maybe a bit too much ice in Fife with 48 times, but I think it worked out great. I think for both me and Fife at the time, they obviously needed bodies, and it was a huge opportunity for me to be there and prove myself, and I got a great opportunity, you know, power play time, PK time, everything, and kind of almost brought a bit of confidence back in my game. I felt confident on the ice. I felt like I was contributing, and yeah, all round again, a great opportunity, and I'm glad I made that choice.
Your debut was against the Clan as well. Talk about a baptism of fire.
Yeah, I know. I think I snuck in an empty net goal at one point against the Clan, but maybe not in that game. I think it was maybe a loss for us on that night.
So then the move to Glasgow came, and you're one of four players to have played for at least three of the four Scottish teams that have played in the Elite League. How does that make you feel?
Well, I hear about it enough. apparently nobody wants me, as the boys would say. But no, it's, you know, at the end of the day, hockey's a year-to-year thing, and teams change, opportunities change, and again, I think I've landed myself in an unbelievable organisation. I'm hopeful now that I can stick around for a while, not just a season, but at the end of the day, that's not just down to me. Obviously, there's other people that make that decision, but yeah, I'm really hopeful that, you know, I'm here for a while. I can make a career out of playing in Glasgow. Like I said, again, I'm super fortunate to have landed myself in a really good organisation again. And yeah, I just seem to be getting good bounces.
Let me just correct myself here. I can't read my notes. You're one of five players to have played for at least three of the four Scottish teams that have played in the Elite League. Do you know who the other ones are?
Barry McKenzie is definitely up there.
Yep.
And that's about as far as I can stretch, to be honest. Is Tristan Harper maybe up there?
Nope.
I have no clue. I know Barry McKenzie's up there because he gets it just as tight as I did about it.
Yeah, but Barry's played for everybody. It's fine. Bobby Chamont was one of them. Travis Fullerton.
Oh, yeah, I should know that.
Travis Fullerton and Duncan Spears, who's now at Dundee. He's played for Edinburgh and he's appeared for the Clan as well in the past. So there you go. And when you came back to Clan, you were reunited with Mikael Lidhammer, who you played with at Dundee as well. That must have been nice for you.
Yeah, it's great. Stallmates, actually. He's a good guy. He's a real good laugh. Doesn't take himself too serious. I think he's got super skills on the ice. I wish I had hands like him on the ice. But yeah, I think it's great to be again with a guy you know and played before. It's always good to, you know, when you first come into a new locker room, to have someone where you know, it's not the first meeting or whatever is great. But yeah, he's an all-round great guy, and yeah, it's nice to have him on the team again.
So, it's Coventry this week, and we've talked about the fact that you'll be up against David Clements and Alex Forbes again this week. But the team, the Clan team, looking to record a record 9th straight win. Now, Fitzy insists that you guys are making him look good. How is he making you look good?
I don't know, but I think Fitzy's done a great job. I think he really gets it. I think when I first signed, when I spoke to him, he really came across that way. Obviously, just out of playing, he really understands, you know, and I know this might sound a bit like days off, practice length, all that sort of thing. He just gets it, you know. He understands that, you know, you don't need to be on the ice for 2 hours, or you don't need to be here every single day for 5 hours at the rink. He really gets that, and he's given the guys a lot of freedom, and again, for myself, a lot of trust. You know, we're a goal down, or, you know, even with a minute to go and play, there's no sitting me. You know, he's just, if I'm up, I'm up, and I think that's huge. I think the guys have kind of trusted me as well is huge. It boosts my confidence. But as a whole for the team, I think Fitzy gives the guys a lot of credit, but he doesn't take a lot for himself. But he's put in the hours. You know, I left the rink today. Obviously, he's still there. He's sitting in his office. He's putting the time in. He's sending us videos. He's putting up stat sheets, everything. He's done a lot. And I think Clan fans all know how much he cares about the organization. And he's obviously a winner and about winning. And I think he's doing great, just giving the guys a lot of freedom and letting us play hockey.
Let me take you back to that opening weekend, the two games against Dundee, two pretty bad defeats, two fairly bad performances as well, I think it's fair to say. But how much work had to be done after those first couple of games to get to where the team is now?
Yeah, I honestly, you know, obviously you don't want those losses, but I think it was maybe one of the best things that's happened to us. Tough losses, but it really makes guys dig deep. I think we just kind of realized that we didn't have to all be the hero or, you know, be the go-to guy. And, you know, guys kind of, it takes time, but guys kind of slot into their roles and, you know, what their kind of contribution on the night needs to be. You know, not everyone needs to score the goals or be the tough guy or, you know, it's just simple. And I think everyone's bought into it. And I think you can see guys are throwing themselves in front of shots, everything. Guys have really just, you know, bought into the system and what Fitzy's putting out there for us. And, tough losses, but a big wake-up call, but I think it almost worked out good for us.
And finally, Coventry, to talk about them for a second. They've been quite inconsistent so far, I think, if you look at the results and how the season's gone for them so far. So how do you prepare for a team like that where you're not really sure what Coventry team's going to turn up?
I think you have to just focus on yourself. I think that's one thing we've been kind of good at here, where, you know, not too focused on other teams. You know, if you play your game plan, if you play the way you can play, I think we know we can compete, and we've proven we can compete with anyone in this league. So I don't think there's too much focus on, you know, who we're playing. I think it's just as long as we're ready to play and do what we need to do. I think it's good. Obviously, we know. I mean, Coventry have got some unbelievable players. For instance, Bloodoff last year played with the guy. Like, I've already seen a couple highlight reel goals from him. So, you know, guys know, you know, certain players that are maybe going to be key players in the game, but all around I think you just focus on your game, the team game, and what we're going to contribute on that night.
I'm Matt Cowlett and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Jake Moore telling us all about his ice hockey journey. Let's take you back to October 2012 when Clan were in the early stages of their third season, being coached by Jordan Krestanovic, but North America, the season was delayed due to a dispute between the NHL and the NHLPA, the players' union, over a collective bargaining agreement. It meant games were cancelled and the players were left in limbo as they waited for a resolution that could see them take to the ice again for their respective teams. While some kept themselves fit at home, others sought means of getting some kind of match sharpness elsewhere by moving to other clubs around the world for short periods to keep them going, waiting for the deal to be done and the dispute to be over. It was this year that Clan were able to sign their only active NHL player to date, arriving in Scotland to a press conference at the Glenhill Hotel in Renfrew, and while he only played 26 times, scoring 17 goals and assisting with 16 before leaving in early January 2013, it was enough to earn him a place on the club's Wall of Fame. I'm talking about Drew Miller, of course, the former Detroit Red Wing, who was a hugely popular figure in his relatively short time here. I got the chance to talk to him earlier this week to reflect on his time in Scotland, and he couldn't quite believe it's been 7 years since he became a member of the Clan.
You know, it is amazing that it's already been 7 years, but it doesn't seem that long. It seems like it was just yesterday I was over there and having a great time playing some hockey and getting experience of life over there.
Now, we know all about the NHL lockout, and we'll ask more about that in just a second, but how did the move specifically to Brayhead come about back then?
Oh, yeah, you know what? By chance, the guy that I was using as my European agent, he knew some people over there and that played with some of the guys, so it just came up. Hey, you want to go play in Scotland? I know the guy that's going to be the coach over there and the player coach, and I said, let's do it. And it happened quick, so we pretty much packed our stuff up and we were out of there within, I think, 4 or 5 days from when we started talking about it. So I was eager to get playing. I didn't want to sit around and just wait for the lockout to end. I wanted to get playing and stay in that game shape. So the opportunity was there. We jumped right at it.
Tell us about the lockout, obviously, from your point of view. It must have been frustrating, the fact that there were so many discussions and negotiations and there just didn't seem to be an end at that time.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when you don't know. I mean, you get the updates and you kind of know what we're fighting for and what we want to stand for and get that fair deal. But at the same time, it's you know the owners are trying to get as much money as they can, and as a player, you want to get a fair deal and you just want to get playing again. So it's frustrating. You only have a certain amount of time that you can, that your body and your mind and that you're able to play the game of hockey. So when you're missing out on half a season, it's tough. You know, I mean, everyone has a job that they usually work for a long time, but with hockey players, that window is so small that you don't want to miss any of it.
Now, there was quite a few guys moved on at that point to get themselves some action. You know, the likes of Paul Bissonnette, Anthony Stewart and Tom Sestito came to the UK. There was guys going to Germany, going to Finland, wherever, just to play as well. At what point did you decide, no, I need to get playing here?
Yeah, you know what? When we started like hearing some of the updates that it might be a while, and I was skating with a bunch of the guys throughout the summer and in the Detroit area, getting ready for hopefully training camp. And then when we found out that wasn't gonna happen, I continued to skate and train, and it just got to the point where it was boring. It was boring to me. We were just kind of doing the same thing every day, and you're trying to find stuff to do. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what, I want to play right now. I want to be ready when the lockout ends. I want to kind of hit the ground running. And the best way for me to do that is play games. So going over to play with the Clan was a great thing for me. Got me out of the house, got me playing, and me and the wife had a great, we called it our second honeymoon. We had a great time there.
I mentioned some of the other guys that played in the UK. Matt Bolesky was another one as well. Were you ever in contact with these guys throughout the lockout and, you know, seeing what their situation was?
I knew Bolesky a little bit, so I played with him in the minors. I think when we would play against guys, I'd see him. They'd just, hey, how's it going? You liking it? This, that. Hopefully the lockout's over soon. And so, I mean, it's just kind of how it is, like, when I came into the Clan. Hockey guys are all pretty accepting, and even if you don't know guys, I didn't really know Bissonnette at all, but just talking to him, everyone kind of a part of the same group there, so you're on the same side, and hockey guys are pretty easy going. So yeah, I think everyone that played in the league enjoyed it. I think a lot of the guys I know, like Bissonnette, myself, none of us were real power play guys or playing a lot of minutes and games in the NHL, so to come over there and have a little bit bigger of a role on a team and be able to score some goals and play a little bit more with the puck and have a skill, play with your skills a little bit instead of just dumping the puck in. It was a big change, but I think it helped, at least for myself, it helped my career a little bit, trying to get back to playing more offensive and playing a little bit more confidence with the puck.
Now, you mentioned earlier that your agent over in Europe sorted you out with the move to the Clan, and it was all done quite quickly, but did you get a chance to speak with Jordan Kristanovich before you flew over?
Yeah, you know, I talked to him real quick. It was just more or less, hey, excited to have you here, and I'm excited to come over there. I'll see you at the hotel for the press conference, and then we'll go from there. So, Jordan was a good coach and player coach, and so that's, yeah, Jordan was the one that my agent, he knew him, and that was the connection there. So, he was great to me. He gave me an opportunity to when I was over there, to travel sometime after games, after a weekend of games. So he would give me a day off practice so I could go travel around with my wife a little bit and have some fun and experience the countryside and see some of the castles and stuff like that. So he was great to me. He made my stay there just that much better by allowing me to experience stuff off the ice as well.
You mentioned the press conference there. I remember it clearly. I was there that day at the Glen Hill Hotel, and I think you just arrived that morning or something. You seemed a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? You were quite taken by it all, the fact that there was such a big thing for you arriving.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know really what to expect, and it was definitely a warm welcome. I mean, the Glen Hill Hotel. I'll never forget that place. I lived there for like 2 months, and then my third month we lived at one of the apartments we moved into. But it was great staying at the hotel, all the different people going in and out of there, and a lot of weddings, and so we enjoyed our time there. It's almost like you get dropped into a different culture, and that was one of the big hotels in that area. So we were interacting with people, different people on a daily basis, and we definitely tried to get around and experience Glasgow as well. So, yeah, I mean, it was from day one, it was a great experience.
You mentioned the fact that you would go off traveling with your wife, you go and see the sights of Scotland, and most guys, as you know, have got the whole season to do that. You only really did it in 3 months, so how much did you see of Scotland?
You know what, we actually did pretty well. We went all around. We went up into the Highlands. We did the William Wallace Monument, Edinburgh. We did, went down to London. We went to Dublin twice. We actually did Christmas in Dublin. So, yeah, we got around as much as we can every weekend. We were trying to do something. Even if it was just driving up to a castle for a night and driving home and having practice the next day, we were trying to make the most of it and see something we'd never seen before and really enjoy it. So that's what we tried to do as much as we could.
Now, you made your debut at the end of that week when you first arrived. It was against Dundee Stars. What do you remember of it?
I was really tired. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You're just trying to adjust to the time zone change, and also I think playing that many minutes right away, and just trying to get back into game shape. Something, you know, the guys have been playing for a while already, and they go through their training camp, and they go through preseason, and they go in the games already. And I had to jump right into the game. So for me, it took a little bit to kind of get back up to speed, or the speed where I felt like I was in game shape and comfortable. But I don't think it took me too long. I think it was a game and a half, 2 games. I felt comfortable, and the guys are great. I mean, they welcomed me right in, and that made the transition that much easier too.
Okay, I'll ask you about the guys in a second, but I want to ask you about the standard of the Elite League at that time and what you made of it compared to, obviously, the level you're used to playing in the NHL at that time.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was competitive. There was a lot of North American guys playing, you know, like that more physical style. So it was, for me, like, to go back to the NHL, I felt like it was a lot more similar. The similarities were there, as to where now I look back on, like, Sweden, there wasn't as much hitting and that kind of rougher play, to where I think that league, for sure, there's that little bit more grit and hitting. As far as like the level of it, man, I was really impressed. A lot of guys over there play a lot of skill. The games are competitive and good, and yeah, so I definitely enjoyed the games and being over there and playing, because it did keep me at that level to where I needed to go back to play in the NHL.
Now, tell us about the guys in the locker room and the memories you have of some of them. You've said they were very welcoming. We've always found that with the Clan guys. But from your point of view, coming in from the level you've played at before, tell us about the guys you shared that locker room with.
Yeah, you know, the guys were great. It was definitely a really, really great experience for me. And like I said, the guys made it that much better. I know, like, Matt Hansen was there. Steve Burns, still, those are guys that still stay in contact with here and there, and see how things are going. And I mean, there's a number of guys on the team that that were great. I know Haywood's still playing there with the Clan, so what a great career he's having there.
It's his testimonial year. If you want, I can put in a word for you.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Tell him I said hi, for sure.
I will do. Now, you were only in Glasgow for 3 months, but what would you consider to be a highlight of your time here?
No, I think the whole experience for me was the hockey part of it, getting to play hockey in a different country, experiencing the fans, great fans there, just meeting the people that were involved and how nice and inclusive and accepting they were of myself and my wife. That was a great experience for us. I mean, we definitely will never forget our time there. Being able to travel around, that was a highlight, just to see new stuff and just have those adventures. And I mean, I think just like I said, as a whole, our experience was phenomenal. Definitely, we always look back at pictures or we talk about different situations and that we had over there and some of the people we met, and they're all positive and great, smiling stories that kind of bring joy to us when we look back on them.
Now, once the lockout was finished, you were back to Detroit. What was left of an NHL season could be played out as well. What was that like going back there after such, what would you call, a very positive experience in Scotland?
You know what? It was great to be able to go back. I felt when I got the training camp, the quick training camp that we had, and jumping back in the games, I felt a lot more confident than I think I would have if I didn't go and play. So I was very, very thankful for the decision that I made to come to Scotland to play, because just I felt that much more confident in my game jumping right back into a season. So it was definitely the right decision for me to come over there and not sit in Detroit and just wait. I think from a standpoint of hockey, but also just in life in general, it was a great life experience coming over there, and the people, the countryside, the hockey, and the friendships we made from the guys, it was awesome.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you were actually awarded a Wall of Fame banner, which now sits at the back of Brayhead Arena. It's you and a collection of guys that have made a significant contribution to the club through the years as well. Were you aware of that at all?
I was, yeah. One of my, I actually just got done with lunch with one of my best buddies, Colton Fredder. He played for Sheffield for a long time. He told me about it, and then, I think Steve Bernstall told me about it too. So, I mean, that's a great honor. I don't know if I deserve it or not, because I was only there for so quickly, but, I mean, it's nice to know that I made a good impression on the people there, because that they did the same to me. That it was a great impression and were so welcoming and provided me a place to play when it could have just been a week or 2 weeks, but they accepted me nonetheless, and we were there for the 3 months. So it was great, and I'm glad to be to always be part of that organization, because I mean, the memories I have will always be a part of me.
Now, after you left Detroit, there was a brief spell in the AHL, and then I moved to Sweden with Brynäs in the SHL. What was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, it's my career was winding down, and I was trying to find a way to hang out a little longer and keep playing, and had an opportunity to go play in Sweden, and yeah, you know, it was definitely a lot different and different style of play. I enjoyed my time there, and I think though that the one thing I realized when I was done there is that I was done with hockey. I was ready to move on to life after hockey, and no regrets, nothing like that. It was just time to be done. So just like Scotland, Sweden was a great life experience. Got to live in a different part of the country or different part of the world, and just meet some really nice people. And you know, we didn't travel around as much because we had a kid with us, but we tried to do some sightseeing, some traveling, and get out and about with our kid and do some stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun.
So do you follow much of the Clan nowadays and how they've been getting on?
You know, I haven't followed as much. I actually have a 6-month-old kid right now, a little girl. So I have a lot of sleepless nights and starting a new job over here. So been pretty busy. But I always check in on the Clan a little bit, and try to look at different scores of different, like the Clan and some of the different people I know. Trying to just keep following up on hockey and stay a part of it a little bit. So for sure. I'm for sure checking in on them here and there, just on the scores and seeing how it was going.
But of course, you're checking on your brother as well, playing with the Anaheim Ducks nowadays.
Yeah, yep. Actually, they were just in Detroit last week, so got a chance to see him and be around the rink a little bit. So it's always good to see him when he comes in town.
Good. So what are you up to nowadays then? You mentioned a new job and obviously family and everything now. Life's a bit different for you.
Yep, two kids now. So I got a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 6-month-old daughter. So they keep us busy. And then I'm working in the insurance business now with my brother-in-law's family owns an insurance agency. So I'm working with him and learning the ropes of insurance. So it's going good. And I actually do some stuff with the Red Wings still, some in-house TV, doing like a pregame show for some of the home games, do some kids camps and alumni team. And so just try to stay involved with hockey the best I can.
Do you think you could ever see a time when maybe a short visit back to Scotland, you could pop in and see the Clan one night? Would that ever happen, do you think?
You know what? Me and the wife always talk about going back that way, and we really enjoyed our time, so we'd like to do Scotland and Ireland a little bit more again and be able to travel around a little longer. So, yeah, I think somewhere down the line I would definitely I would love to get back there and catch a game and see the area. And we loved coming downtown in Glasgow and great restaurants and good pubs. So we would love to get back there for sure.
Hey, this is Jordan Haywood, and I listen to Clan Chat.
Great to hear from Wall of Famer Drew Miller again after 7 years. Before we finish things off here, let's give you the answer to the Clan Conundrum. And we told you that Matt Becker scored the most points in the 6 meetings between Glasgow Clan and this Sunday's opponents, Coventry Blaze, picking up 3 goals and 8 assists for 11 points. But which two players scored more goals? I can tell you the answer was Scott Pitt and Josh Grattan, who both found the net 4 times each. Another Clan Conundrum to come next time.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
That's it. Keep up to date with the Clan by checking out the website, clanihc.com, or by following us on social media, by liking the official Facebook page, or following us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. Get your tickets for this Sunday's game against the Coventry Blaze via the website, and don't miss out on what will be another great night of action. Face-off is at 4:30 p.m. If you want to join the OSC after hearing OSC Chairman Roddy Brown on last week's Clan Chat, check them out on the Clan website, clanihc.com, and find them under the Fan Zone category, where all information and upcoming events can be found. If you haven't yet, you can subscribe to the Clan Chat podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audio Boom, and if you do, new episodes will automatically download to your device. I want to extend my thanks to our guests this week, Craig Moore and Drew Miller, for their time and input for this week's show. Also thanks to producer Stuart Priest for putting this together, as he enjoys some well-earned time away, so it's only right to thank his wife, Jennifer, as well. We'll return very soon for another episode of Clan Chat. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.